Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapid Support, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for this August 15th, 2025. I have your host, James, here, and joining us today, our good friend, Senator Patrick Teston. Sir, how you doing?
I'm doing great, James. Actually, on the road right now, heading over to Jackson County to participate in the Wisconsin Cranberries Association Field Day. So looking forward to seeing some of our cranberry growers all across the state, but primarily right here in the heart of the 24th Senate District.
I know that you've got important work when it comes to this, and appreciate you being out there, feet on the ground and everything. But there's nothing like being on a marsh. There's something about it. I just love the feeling, the smell in the air, all of that. A little jealous of you. That's going to be nice. That's going to be a good time.
Oh, absolutely.
I did. And speaking of that, this kind of leads into that a little bit. I wanted to talk a little bit about the small business roundtable at Altman Construction you were recently at here in Rapids. How did that go?
It went really well. This was organized by Congressman Derek Van Orden's office, and it was really an opportunity to hear from business leaders in a number of different sectors. And also, Congressman Van Orden was able to kind of give an update on the recent legislation that was enacted at the federal a really good dialogue and feedback from the business community, and I was glad to be a part of it.
Did you anything as far as this went? Did you hear anything from the constituents, talking to people? Anything new come about from this, or just kind of reconfirming a lot of what you've heard before?
You know, I think there were some really good questions as it related to some of the work requirements that are going to be put in place here in the next several weeks and months as it relates to benefits for individuals who are on things like food share. And obviously there's still a lot that needs to be hammered out both at the federal level as well as the state level, but obviously this does impact employers. But I think there's going to be a potential benefit. As you know, I've said multiple times on this show for years, is that one of the biggest challenges that we face here in the state is that we've had more jobs open than there are people to fill them. And so hopefully with some of the requirements that are going to come down and be enacted and administered via the state from the feds, is that we're going to get able-bodied individuals off the sidelines and back in the gainful employment. And that should go and help a long way to help fill the void of the workforce shortages that we faced in businesses in every corner of the state going on the last decade.
With the recent budget pass and everything, is there some hope that some of the things in there, like involving childcare and everything, can help get some people back out there?
I think so. And, that was, one of the biggest things that we tried to address in this budget. And again, recognizing that this was a compromise budget, we had to negotiate in good faith with Republicans and Democrats, along with Governor Tony Evers, to get this across the finish line. And we used some federal funds that were at the governor's disposal to provide a lifeline for child care providers for the next year in a variation and continuation of the Child Care Counts program. But knowing that that's only going to last a year, we still are going to have to get creative and think of long-term solutions on how we address some of these challenges that are faced in child care, which ultimately come back to these are workforce issues as well. When moms and dads have to make decisions of whether or not one or both of them are able to go out and get gainful employment just based on whether or not they can find a place to wash their kids so they can go to work. That's a huge, huge problem. And so, we've got a year to sort of figure this out, but I'm hopeful with some of the investments that we've made, it's going to provide a lifeline for these providers and hopefully more slots for parents to find childcare for their kids.
Encouraging to hear that, because I know when I talk with you or Representative Krug about this, you guys seem to have your eye on the ball and the main part of this when it comes to child care. Unfortunately, I hear from a lot of your colleagues in the state when they're talking about this subject, they seem to spend a lot of time on people who are trying to defraud the government and want to just be lazy and sit on the couch eating bonbons and get a pay, get a check or something like that. When the stats will tell you that's less than 5% of people that are actually doing that. The real concern is child care and good pay and some of those things. So it's encouraging to hear that that is where your focus is on that. Not to say that we turn a blind eye to these other things, but that's where we got to keep our eye on the ball. If we're really going to solve this problem, we've got to actually look at what the real cause is and not just what's going to get headlines or certain people to lean your way. Earlier this month, your bipartisan Advanced Practice Registered Nurse Modernization Act was signed into state law. I want to give you credit on being able to say that whole sentence, first off. but way more important than that, kind of to a point of the other things we've already covered today, this is really big for our state. This is really big for the people of our state.
This was huge, and really, to be completely honest, James, I was never sure we'd ever get to this point where we would have this bill signed into law. This really was a huge Herculean effort, and I give a lot of credit to the nursing organizations who had spent the better part of the last decade and a half trying to get this bill enacted into law. And I had the privilege over the previous two legislative sessions to author this bill, which allows our advanced practice registered nurses to operate at the highest level of their scope of practice and to practice independently if they meet various requirements. And, you know, the last two sessions, both houses of the legislature, you know, at those times, the governor vetoed the bill. We came back this go around, recalibrated, made some changes, again, negotiated, compromised to get to a point where not everyone was completely satisfied with the end result, but at the same time, this advances the profession of our advanced practice nurses in the right direction and is going to go a long way to opening up access to quality care in every corner of the state, especially in our underserved and rural communities. And so it was a great day. And even, you know, after the day's work had concluded, we had a sort of a reception at a local establishment off the square and had a chance to sit down with some of the governor's staff over a beer and exchange war stories, because there was a lot of back and forth, and just glad we got it done. And there's still more work to be done, but I tell you, this was one of the bills I was most proud to see signed into law, and it's a credit to all those involved, and I appreciate the governor's signature, and this is going to go a long way to helping patients all across the state.
Agree with everything you said there. Just adding on to that, certainly the work that you put into this, or really pushing forward with this, not letting go of it. I imagine there were plenty of times where, like you said, it didn't seem like this would ever get off the ground. To continue with it, we appreciate too. And can't imagine how many lives can be saved or helped because of the a bill like this. That's really important for us. Do you have a hope? And I understand that they're two different things, but a bill like this being passed, are you more hopeful of, you know, some of the work that you've been trying to do with getting more dentists into rural areas and some of that?
Yeah, I do think there's more opportunity there. And I think that's one area, especially as it relates to oral health care, that even looking back at last session, some of the investments that were made into our tech colleges to train more dental therapists and dental hygienists, you see the investments that have been made in places like Mid-State Technical College. So there's obviously a lot that needs to be done, but Republicans and Democrats, we've been able to come together on increase in access to oral health care, especially understanding that over half of Wisconsin counties are considered dental deserts. Even places like Wood and Portage County are considered dental deserts, and you wouldn't think that, but that's absolutely the case. So anything that we can do to develop our talent pipeline in this profession and in this area of healthcare delivery and to get them to come to areas like central Wisconsin goes a long way, because as we are well aware, oral health care is tied to several key systems within our body. And when you talk to school administrators, the number one reason why kids miss school is because of toothaches, because they can't get in to see a hygienist or a dentist to do their basic cleanings or getting things capped. So I think especially too, when you take a look now with Governor Evers making the announcement that he's not going to run for reelection, I think that frees him up and gives him a little bit more flexibility to work with us on a number of different issues, not having those partisan constraints put in place, that I think we've got a really good opportunity between now and the end of session to get a lot of good things done. And I'm willing to roll up my sleeves and get the work to do just that.
And along with, you know, certainly we do need these dentists in town, and all the great points that you made there. Here's hoping as well that we can make it more affordable for families as well to be able to go to the dentist, because just getting a dentist is one thing. Being able to afford and having dental insurance and some of those things is a whole other conversation. So we can't get to one without the other. So here's hoping that is in place, that happens. We're speaking with Senator Patrick Teston right now. And recently you received the Building Wisconsin Award from the Association Builders and Contractors of Wisconsin. What was that like, and how did that feel?
It was great. It happened right after we wrapped up the roundtable with number of business leaders at Altman Construction, and it's been great to work alongside the Associated Builders and Contractors. These are our independent contractors, construction workers, electricians, who do amazing jobs. And, you know, some things that we were able to get done in this budget go a long way to helping their professions, especially as it relates to the investments, the record investments that we made in things like our youth apprenticeship programs, which we have seen take off in recent years. And, you know, I'm always reminded of the youth apprenticeship appreciation breakfast that SPASH puts on every year, where juniors and seniors alongside their sponsors get to talk about their experiences. And what's so great about the youth apprenticeship program is that, you know, it really allows students to get hands-on experience. And for some, it sparks an interest in a career field that they never knew existed. Or in other circumstances, and probably even more beneficial, they realize, you know what, I did this youth apprenticeship program, realized it wasn't for me, and now I'm going to try something else. And so, you know, it's these types of investments that are going to build up our workforce and train the future workers of Wisconsin. So really great to work alongside ABC and very appreciative of the award.
Yeah, and especially the opportunity to talk with face-to-face a lot of the workers in that industry. I know how much that means for you, and being able to hear not just from them, but maybe different things that they have that you might not hear otherwise. It's an important moment. So great to hear for you and that you were able to take part in it. And congratulations again on that. You've been in our stomping grounds a little bit lately. You visited Spirus in Rapids. How did that go?
It was great. Got to sit down with their leadership team and talk about some of the things that they've been working on and the investments that they're making into the region. Really, it was an opportunity to kind of go over and rehash some of the work that was done within the state budget, primarily the ability that we were able to get the governor to sign the budget prior to President Trump signing the federal appropriations bill and what that means as it related to our hospital assessment tax, which being able to leverage that to 6% goes a long way to filling some of the gaps that we faced in our state budget as related to our cost of continuing Medicaid. Because if we hadn't been able to leverage this additional $1 billion by going up to the 6% for our hospital assessment tax, we are facing some significant shortfalls within our budget that we're going to be very difficult to balance and, you know, put into the black. And so, you know, we talked a lot of things about workforce access, price transparency, things of that nature. And so there are still a number of standalone pieces of legislation that are going to go a long way to, again, empowering our providers to take care of patients and increase access to care. And, you know, it's great having partners like Aspirus in our area who do a great job and others like Marshfield Clinic. And so, you know, it's always great to hear from them and more importantly, to solicit their feedback on just some of the standalone bills that are out there between now and the end of session that, you know, we need to get done or maybe need to tweak to get people more on board with.
One of the things you got to check out while there was Mid-States Technical College's Healthcare Simulation Center that is located on the third floor over there. I wanted to bring that up, one, to let people know that might not know that that exists over there, and I think it's really unique and cool for our community, but I imagine it was pretty interesting to check out.
It was great. They have these very advanced simulator, I don't want to call them dummies, but basically mannequins where, you know, it allows nursing students to basically get hands-on experience and the instructors are able to throw them curveballs. So it's almost as though you get the practice in real time without actually doing it on a real person, but it's very much realistic. And so, you know, that, as you alluded to, is a partnership and investment made between Aspirus and Mid-State Technical College. And again, that's where I think we're so incredibly blessed to have such a great organization like Mid-State Technical College, who are really, you know, they're ear to the ground working with our business community and our region to figure out where the greatest needs are as it relates to a workforce. And it's partnerships like these that really advance our area, and to see these types of partnerships really blossom, it speaks volumes to our area of the state and the leadership of individuals like President Shelley Mondyke and her leadership team over there. And so it was really fun to see that, because I missed the grand opening when they opened up a couple years ago, and it was great to go through and you know, see what some of the students experience on a day-to-day basis.
You bring up grand openings. I've got a little bit of a curveball question for you. I got to ask you the tough questions every once in a while, sir, so I hope you understand. We've always been able to do this with each other, so I have a question. How do you know how many ribbon cuttings you've been a part of?
Oh. I've been to quite a few. I don't know if I could quantify an actual number, but it's definitely would not fit on two hands, I can tell you that.
Well, I imagine it, and you added to that recently, you were honored to participate at the ribbon cutting ceremony for the new Noble Community Clinic and facility in Stevens Point. How did that go?
It went great. Noble Community Clinic is one of our free and charitable clinics here in the area that serve several locations in central Wisconsin, and they just built a new facility in downtown Stevens Point, which was a major upgrade compared to their old facility, which was a pretty cramped little building right by Lendudas Motors. And our free and charitable health clinics do a tremendous job in helping our underserved and underinsured populations. And whether that's dealing with behavioral health, substance abuse, basic primary care, even oral health care. And again, the last several budgets, I've had the privilege to be the lead author on budget amendments that have made significant increases to our community health clinics, as well as our FQHCs and FQHC lookalikes, like Noble Community Health Clinic. And so really excited to see them expand their footprint in central Wisconsin, and talking with their director, it sounds like there's more work in the down the road here where they're going to continue to invest in the area. And again, this is about increase in access to healthcare, especially for those underserved and underinsured populations.
Yeah, they're doing great work over there. It was really cool to see the facility open up, and wishing them a great first couple of months over there. Sir, as we're getting ready to let you go, I wanted to talk with you a little bit about the On the Job series. And as I've kind of done over the years with you, do you know country music? You a country music fan?
Absolutely.
All right. So when we finally get to do our On the Job series, you come here to the studios, we'll have you DJ over on 105.5. We'll have you DJ some country music over there. We'll maybe that's what we'll do for you over here. And have you ghost Pam some of that.
Perfect.
Do you have anything coming up for the On the Job series?
Actually, we do. In the next couple weeks, I'm going to be working at the Central Wisconsin Airport. And really excited. I'm not exactly sure what it's all going to be entailed, but I'm just hoping to keep the planes running on time and help passengers get to their destination safely. So I'm looking forward to it.
I cannot wait to see how that goes. That's going to be great. Looking forward to it, and looking forward to talking to you next month, as always. Thanks so much for joining us, sir. If people have follow-up questions, want to know more and get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Yeah, if anyone needs to get in touch with my office, feel free to give us a call at 608-266-3123. Shoot us an email at sen.legis.wi.gov. Follow us on social media. Sign up for my weekly newsletter that we send out every Thursday. And of course, if you see me out and about throughout the district and want to chat, feel free to pull me aside. And looking forward to seeing everyone out at the Kellner Corn Fest Parade this Saturday.
That's going to be a fun time. That's going to be great. We'll see you there. Safe travels, and we'll talk soon, sir.
Appreciate it. Thanks, James.
Thank you. And thank you to everybody for joining us for another edition of WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic.